Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. And just as I turned on the mic, I discovered that my wire was hooked into something it should not be hooked in, and unless I get it untangled, I'm going to be doing the whole show leaning over. So anyway, there's always, you get ready. We slid into first again to do the show today. And we're always pretty busy. Actually, my daughter informed me that in McMurdo in Antarctica, the high temperature today is 31 and the low temperature is 22 degrees. Our low temperature here in Summer Lake is minus 17. So it's pretty bad when Antarctica is warmer than us, but that's global warming for you. The reality is that there's always change. We always say if people don't like the weather here, they can wait a minute because it's probably going to change, because we live in the high mountains and things change here rapidly. You can have, you know, we actually have days where there is a 70 degree shift in temperature. That's not all that that uncommon. So you're always wearing layers to prepare because you never know what's going to happen. And we started a series this morning. It was a little bit out of what we were planning to talk about, but it was very important. We're going to actually include it in some of the videos and audios that we share with people. And it's about spiritual contracts. People don't know how the spiritual realms of the universe work. And of course, there's all kinds of speculation, and people think they know, and there's, you know, spiritism and seances and all kinds of different things that people offer. And a lot of those things are very dangerous to even get involved in. Because of the fact that you're not, you know, it's kind of like letting, you know, a five-year-old run a high-speed motorboat or drive a car. It's dangerous. You can get yourself into a lot of trouble. It's in a realm you don't know. Climbing mountains. I used to climb mountains, and I was pretty risky doing that because I didn't always have all the ropes and the gear and all that equipment, but you had to use a certain amount of common sense, and then you had to have kind of the grace of God, or you might not survive some of the hair-raising situations that I found myself in. But there were always, sometimes I would not push the envelope. I would just know, I better not do that, and I can't prove to you that it was a good idea, but most people had been terrified to even think I was even to the point where I was at. But we're pushing the envelope now, and we don't even know it. We've been lulled into a false sense of understanding about society, about economies, about politics, about religion, about the spiritual realm. We are all living in the spiritual realm, this other dimension, this spiritual dimension, but we are almost totally unaware of it. We get little insights into it, little intuitions now and then, you know. Sometimes we, you know, I just knew I shouldn't have done that, you know, and we don't know why, but somehow or other we knew, or, you know, the fact is the spiritual realms are having a great deal of effect on what we're doing. Now, there's actually a group of guys who are trying to, well, actually there's lots of people who've been trying to delve into the spiritual realm, you know, open the doorway to the other side and see what's what. But there's actually scientists who are trying to do it, and it's the CERN, the great Large Hadron Collider, LHC, in CERN, France, it's been online for a little while. I mean, but they're always, you know, they're testing it and then building up, and then they test it again, and then they raise the parameters and they test it again. And if you look up CERN, CERN, and collider and dangerous. And you'll have physicists all over the place talking about how dangerous it is what they're doing, worried about things like opening black holes and vacuums and bosons and suddenly, you know, creating a chain reaction where everything gets sucked into an abyss and we destroy the Earth in a twinkling of an eye. And of course, I suppose such a thing is possible, but it's probably not going to be done by the CERN collider. Although it's never before have they artificially created such energy levels anywhere. And they're doing it in a kind of an interesting spot. Apollyon temple or area that was dedicated to that is in that area of France. And that was a kind of a god of destruction. And of course, now the guys who were building this, which is built by all kinds of different countries, dozens of different countries are involved. They have a big statue out front of Shiva, which is the god of destruction. And it's supposed to be, you know, most of you don't read Sanskrit, have never read Sanskrit, have never examined documents or, you know, writings in Sanskrit. Which a lot of it is on walls and tablets and stuff. It's not like in a book, although you can see it in the book. And one of the things I remember about Sanskrit that someone said is that the beautiful thing about Sanskrit is you can make it mean anything you want. Because it's a very symbolic language. In some ways, it's very organized, but in other ways, you can fudge the meaning a great deal. But Shiva is one of those gods that's supposed to be between Brahman and the other great god of life in the universe. And, of course, a lot of that folklore around those gods in the Hindu theology have been created long after Brahman died and what he actually taught and what he actually believed. Same way with Buddha, that people have taken it a lot of different ways. Christianity, Jesus, Abraham, Moses, and the Jews. You know, I don't know a single... I know all kinds of Orthodox Jews who are very meticulous about the statutes of Moses, but they aren't keeping them. They actually violate them on a daily basis in really big ways, and they don't even see it. They're all caught up with the jots and tittles and the organized, and we talked about this a little earlier in this series. This is the third part. And they miss the whole thing, you know, forever studying and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth has to do with that spiritual knowing, you know, where God writes upon your hearts and upon your minds. And so anyway, there's supposed to be this big question of the symmetry of the universe and chaos, you know, which is it? And this CERN collider is supposed to figure that out. And that's kind of what, you know, the god Shiva sits between these two other elements of the theology of their religion. I'm not trying to be technical about it or anything like that. So if anybody actually knows the details, I'm not going to get into that. And there's a variety of opinions out there. But the Shiva is this thing in between that is both creation and destruction. And it's this place of conflict. And really, if you go over and talk, and we've done this about the string theory and, you know, quantum physics and the pulling between the two worlds and all this kind of stuff, this is what mathematicians are actually using now to explain the universe. They don't always use, you know, the yin and yang and the dark and the good and the Shiva in between and the string. They use string theory, membrane theory. I think they have one, Shiva, that, you know, this division between the two of symmetry and chaos. But they actually believe that there are other realms. And mathematically and through the experiments, they believe that there are these other realms. And one of the big things, if you look up CERN and danger, they're talking about opening a door between us and those other realms. And somebody wrote in an article, and they got videos to go along with it, CERN is about, referring to the collider, is about to get dangerous. This year, I'm not sure what year this was written in, although, you know, you'll actually see dates like the 7th of January, 2016, which is not very far away from this recording. Probably isn't going to be the end of the world. But some people are speculating along those lines, always looking for, you know, more press. How many YouTube video visits can I get? I make something outrageous. But anyway, he says, and this year, all hell could literally break loose in the event, in the event it does, what will we do? This stuff is pure evil and pure dangerous. And now, there's a lot of people that would be classified as wackos that are talking about this. And I'm not classifying them that, but the general consensus would. But there's a lot of very, you know, prominent scientists that are very concerned about what this might do if they do open doorways or openings to these other dimensions. Now, the reality is, such openings take place all time, taking place throughout history. And evil does reach out and have an influence. There's other realms that we would call heaven, and things come from that and pass back and forth between these two other realms. And there's many other realms besides. You don't have to believe that, but anyway, just for the point of where we're going to go today, I'm throwing that as a speculation, and plenty of physicists and mathematicians agree that these other realms exist. Do the doors open up? Well, if there's things going on in those realms, maybe they got a super collider and they're opening doors. But what happens if you go back and you know, if you don't get too crazy about it, like Chariots of the Gods or anything like that, but there is evidence that in certain areas, certain things, mysterious things, happen. And there's also evidence that are unexplained, and of course it's really fun, great campfire talk, to explore the possibilities. But you don't want to make a religion out of it, because that religion doesn't have anything to do with that. It's just interesting scientific observations that there is something out there in the universe that is beyond our understanding. And we are finding out more and more about it all the time. And if you're willing to expand your horizons, you can look out in those directions. But if you look out in those directions at all these things that are going on in nature, you can actually get distracted from the very thing you really need to know now, in this realm, in this world. And you can set yourself up for chaos, trouble, disaster. And you don't need, you know, the CERN collider to do it. You can do it in your own life. Because each of us, we can actually see into these other realms. Most of us don't see it. Sometimes small children do, but they learn not to look at it because it's distracting. It distracts from what's going on in your realm. And you can get you into trouble. You know, I mean, how many kids have imaginary friends and stuff? Now, some of this is a product of imagination, and a great deal of what we think we see, you know, like I've talked before about people who see angels and stuff, these are projections of your mind, because you may be seen spiritually into other realms, and your brain, in order to construct something of what you're seeing in the other realms, draws the picture, draws the image. Like we talk about, some schizophrenics hear voices. Those voices could be coming from other realms. Most of the time, or much of the time, I don't want to say most, I don't really know, but many times it's actually coming from your own subconscious trying to communicate with you. And it's a byproduct of having a life where you grow up and you're traumatized. And so, you suppress a lot of information about your life because it was so traumatic. And sometimes it's not extremely traumatic, but maybe you're a little bit more sensitive, so you suppress it because it's painful. And yet, the inner self, your inner self, wants to communicate with you. with your conscious mind. And so literally it can create a voice in your head and speak to you. It's actually you speaking to you. What's deep down inside you speaking to you. But by the same token, what's deep down inside you is influenced by spiritual realms, both good spiritual realms and bad. And we see the cartoons, we've seen the pictures, way back to the Renaissance, you know, a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other, and one is trying to get you to go this way, and the other one's trying to get you to go that way. And we draw these pictures because we sense it's true. That's actually happening. You know, maybe not quite. You know, literally, you know, a guy in a red pajamas and somebody in a white dress strumming on a harp. But those images are created out of a reality that some very sensitive people have realized. And those images come down through the ages. And now scientists are saying, yeah, these realms exist, and there may be creatures that live in entities that live in these realms, and they're trying to open a door to it. Now, that being said, now, these realms are everywhere. They're, you know, this other dimension is on the other side of where you're at right now, right next to you, right where you are at. But it's in this other dimension. So you reach out, you don't touch it, you don't feel it. If the wind blows there, you don't feel it against your cheek. You feel the wind in this realm. But still, those realms are not real far apart. They're just this veil between us. There's no real distance between them. And this is what scientists are beginning to realize, that they're here. So now, if you were to go over to Syria or Iran, where all this commotion is going on, people are dying, people are murdering, people are killing people, people are raping and heinously torturing people. Why? Because of politics? You know, the reality is that this is evil influencing those people. And some of them are choosing to be influenced, or susceptible to that, or falling prey to the temptation of, you know, exercising this power and control and oppressing, you know, and raping and humiliating people because they are giving themselves over to a realm that is okay in. That's commonplace. See, they're worried about CERN opening a door to hell. Door's already open. Everybody's not coming through yet. They're not pouring through. But more and more, we're seeing the signs of that influence from hell on the highways and byways of the world coming out and affecting people. So how do you war against that? If that's actually true, if this hellish mindset is driving people crazy, and this happens every so often. I mean, to some degree, it happened during World War II. I mean, you had Nazis with their prison camps and atrocities and all this stuff. Very educated community. People, fairly civilized people, suddenly doing these unbelievably torturous, murderous things. But the same thing was going on in the Soviet Union. And the same thing actually went on with some American troops, where they murdered and killed prisoners. Certainly the French did. The English did to some degree. And even Americans. And evil is where you find it. And it doesn't necessarily come from a geographical location. Although, if evil is becoming predominant in a particular area, it will have a tremendous influence over the people of that inhabitant in that area. And it will inhabit, the evil will begin to inhabit the actual people that are in that area. Now, everybody won't be susceptible, and this is what we need to understand. Why are some people susceptible? You know, like if you were to cast out demons, if such a thing was really possible, a lot of you won't believe that it is, and that's fine. But the reality is, if you could do that, I mean, it's not fine, but, you know, for the sake of what we're going to talk about today, you don't have to believe it. But if you could cast out demon, why does one person have the ability to cast out a demon and another not? I mean, supposedly the apostles did, but then they had trouble with certain demons. And Jesus said, well, with those, it requires fasting and prayer. So you get this idea that there's these multiple levels of demons. Now, the reality is that you have to have a heart that leans towards the temptation and the character of demons, of evil. You know, you can't just take somebody who really is saintly, I mean, really, not just faking it, like most of the people you see that are saintly, but I mean, really a good person, deep down, dyed in the wool, good person. They're not so easily taken over by these spirits. As a matter of fact, those spirits are repelled by them. Why them and not this one? Well, because the inclination of the heart draws you to what we call wickedness. And we talked about that. We, you know, I started with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business, your own work, to work with your own hands, to take care of yourselves. And of course, this was the whole thing with Christians. They were taking care of themselves. They weren't going to men who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority to get benefits, because then you're relying, giving those men power to take away from your neighbor to provide for you. If you do that, you are not following the character of Christ. You're not coming in the name of Christ, because that's not what he did. You're actually coming in the name of Nimrod and Satan and the evil Caesars. And it draws you spiritually, mentally. You begin to accept it. Oh, it's okay to do it because it's a good cause. End justifies the means. Common Roman saying at the time that the Roman Republic was falling. You see, and then we got in and we explained the definition of contract. And that definition of contract has to do with coming into agreement. See, if you mentally come into agreement, spiritually come into agreement in your heart with the idea that it's okay to oppress, to force your neighbor to pay for what you want, you know, like free education, free health care, you know, not a non-volunteer fire department, but a commercial fire department, where you force your neighbors to pay into it. We explained all that. That's a certain mindset. That's okay. You've taken an idea, a concept of natural law, and said, that doesn't matter because it's a good cause. Yeah, those people had certain inalienable rights as to their right to pursue happiness, but for 20% of this day, 30% of this day, they're going to have to pursue my happiness. They're going to have to work and sweat, but they're not going to be able to take the money home. That's going to be sent to my benefactors who are going to guarantee that I get free education, free health care, free fire protection, free police force. And they don't have any choice about it because the majority ruled. See, now if the majority rules makes it right, then the Lord of the Rings guys, the Seven, should have surrendered to Mordor because they had more guys. So that, you know, vote makes it right. And I just shared that. I think you can actually see it on our contract page at Preparing You, a video the judge. And he was explaining natural law and the fact that you have rights. Now you can contract away those rights. They say unalienable. Well, you can contract away rights. You can make a contract that says you will do this, 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 and this if somebody gives you that. They give you that, and then now you got to do this, this, and this, or pay that back. You don't have that to pay back, now you got to do it. And it's enforceable. And that's what happens. But when we wrote the book Covenants of the Gods, people think that, well, okay, this is how I got into this covenant, and this is how I got into this contract, and this is why I don't have this right anymore, and this is why I don't have that right. I don't have a right to my labor. I don't have a right to my children. I don't have a right to my own body. They can force me to take vaccinations. I have a right to bear arms, but I don't really own the guns, so they have a right to take them away because they only have legal title. They can take my house away if I don't pay into what they want, because they don't really own it. And we explain all that in detail. We show you the law. But those contracts is not what has brought you into bondage. Any more than, I won't go that far, but everything in the universe that exists, that's polled between these two realms, exists because of something in the spiritual realm first. You know, people all always say, you know, Big Bang, suddenly there's this Big Bang and all creation came about. Well, who lit the fuse that set the Big Bang off? What Big Bang? Who Big Banged? Where'd the Big Bang come from? Who fired that cannon? It was fired in the spiritual realm. That's why they talk about breathing on the waters and life coming. Everything begins in the spiritual realm, which is just another dimension. And then this dimension comes about. And there's other dimensions too. And they're all somewhat connected, but they're all separate. But if you come into agreement by saying it's okay to do this, that, and the other thing, you know, it's okay to take away from my neighbor. Now, you have a contract. You have an agreement. Agreement, contract, contract, agreement. With a realm that intends to take life away from your neighbor. And now your neighbor can take life away from you. And evil is getting you all to make that agreement so that it can come and take your life. It's not going to kill you itself. It's going to have your neighbor kill you. See, you've been taking a bite out of your neighbor. Every time you wanted something new, you wanted street lights on you. So we're going to tax everybody. We're going to levy a tax on everybody on the street so we can have street lights. Because street lights are good. Now, you could have got together and had fundraisers and paid for those street lights. You could have done that yourself. I think, what was it? Golden Gate Bridge. And we think, oh, well, the government must have built that. No, actually, people built that. They put up their houses as collateral for that building project. And for years, they paid an extra tax, but they agreed to put their house up so that they could get the funds to build that bridge. If they had failed, if the project failed, they would have had to pay all that money back and not get to drive across to Sausalito. But people got together and did that. Voluntarily. You could move mountains voluntarily if you could get together. But the world doesn't want you together. The world doesn't want you to think like Christ. They want you think like Christ, but they don't actually want you to think like Christ, because Christ came to serve. And we're going to talk to you more about how you put on this full armor that protects you from this spiritual realm and why you need that protection when we come back after the break. But I'm going to reveal on this show some of the secrets of the universe. But you're not going to get it unless you start thinking over here in this righteous realm. And we'll talk about that when we come back after this brief break. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind, and the Lord raiseth them up that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. This is Psalms 146:8. God's love opens your eyes. It takes the scales off your eyes. But in order to receive God's love, you must be willing to see. But if you think you see already, then Christ talks about you will be made blind. This is part of the teachings that Christ gave us. Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." Well, he's talking about those who think they already know. And so what we're doing in these series is trying to show you what Christ was trying to help people see. And Peter would say the same thing, that through covetousness, that you would be made merchandise. You would curse your children. You would go back and become entangled in the elements of the world. That is the cause. When we talk about contracts in the world and of the world, we're simply talking about systems and agreements where you can actually see the evidence of the fact that you're already in agreement with ideas like one purse, like eating at the table of kings, benefactors who exercise authority. And they're not really benefactors. They only give you what they take away from others. These are the fathers of the earth. These are the terminologies. And we show you the history. We show you how this applied back then. We show you how it applied throughout the ages. We show you how it applied in our times today. But it is absolutely essential that you change what you are in agreement with. That's repentance. You're in agreement with the idea that it's okay to covet. It's okay to desire what belongs to your neighbor for your personal benefit. And it's okay not to forgive. Christ's love will open your eyes, but it also will be like hot coals upon the head of those who do not want to see. They will hate it. If Christ is in you, if you're coming in the name of Christ, you need to be coming with a desire to serve, to forgive, to be a righteous individual. That is your desire. And you need to act, not just say, "Lord, Lord," but actually become a doer of that word. And then His love can bless you, His grace. If you only love those who love you, if you only love those who help you, care about you, that are close to you, what grace have you? This is what it says. I want you to keep that in mind. Do not get carried away with contracts and jurisdictions and laws, etc. Keep in mind that this is about coming into agreement with Christ. And join the network. Find other people seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That daily ministration based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. A government that does not exercise authority but exercises love and charity and hope. And until then, peace on your house, and may God be with you. Okay, well, welcome back. So, how do we, in the previous show, I actually was talking about knowing the whole truth and preparing for it, providing for the whole truth. I want to know what's coming so that I can provide for it. And actually, then I started talking about Paul Revere, and actually I meant Patrick Henry. And I was talking about Paul Revere and what he had done, but it was Patrick Henry who had said that. And I actually had a sense of that at the time. But I was pushing buttons here and trying to organize things, and other things are going on. And I thought, well, did I say that wrong? And I couldn't remember, but somebody called me out on it. So I do know the difference. But knowing the whole truth is absolutely essential. And there's a quote in Matthew 20:15. "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own?" Now, Now, Jesus could say that. I suppose the devil could say that too. I suppose rulers can say that. You belong to the state. You owe a debt to the state. You've received benefits from the state. The state has gone out there and forced your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. I mean, like people collect Social Security. Well, I paid in. Yeah, but everything you paid in is gone. It's gone. It's not there anymore. There isn't anything there, and there has been no separate fund from the beginning. I've had people say, that was supposed to be kept separate. Where did you get that? You're just making that up. Did you read the act? It's not kept separate. Supreme Court ruled way back in the 30s and in the 50s and in the 60s. There is no division of the funds. They don't have to take it out of this account, put it into that account. There is no separate accounts. Now, there's an accounting guy who's, you know, adding up what's coming in and what's going out, but it's not a separate account. It's one purse. They all have one purse. And the men who control that purse exercise authority. And it's based on the idea of forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. That puts you over with a group that thinks that way. And once you take those benefits, you're a surety for the debt. You belong to them. Like I also quoted from this new movie coming out. Selling your soul, selling your rights, soul. Where's the soul? Soul is in the blood, according to Moses. Soul, what is it? Corporeal and incorporeal hereditaments of personality. It's easier to say soul. But that's your rights. But that's a surety for debt. You had a right to go do anything you want, but no, you owe some money, so you have to go to work. You could have worked and everything you produced was yours, but no, you're in debt. So that's why. Why do you think the tax just goes to pay the interest? Because you're a surety for the debt. They don't want the debt to go away. They want you to belong to them. Now you say, well, what papers do I file so that they don't belong to me anymore? Or I don't belong to them anymore? There aren't any. I mean, you could move to Great Britain, sign up with them, and then they would give you an exemption from over here. Actually, they're kind of slow to do that. But, you know, in most countries, if you leave that country and go and sign up with another country, then you're exempt from the other country. But the new one, they want it. And they've all agreed by contract that all these systems are tied together. So there's no place to go. But Jesus, the same thing was going on at the time of Rome. I mean, you could go way out to the barbarians where the Romans hadn't got. But now, where do you go? The moon? The reality is everybody's, no matter what country you're in, are in this bondage. And that bondage is all linked back to a kind of covetous way of thinking, a covetous practices, desiring benefits at the expense of your neighbor. And that puts you in a camp where you're a surety and you belong to someone who thinks that way. Christ don't think that way. So you don't belong to Christ. You can say, I gave my heart to Jesus, but you don't belong to Christ unless I see some evidence of, you know, the fruit of accepting Jesus. Because if you accept Jesus, you got to start thinking like Jesus. Most of you aren't thinking like Jesus. You're not acting like Jesus. And so, where is this idea taking you? Well, it's taking you down a road towards Rome, towards Babylon, towards Nimrod, who was a mighty provider instead of the Lord, and he provided by taking away from your neighbor. You need, if you want to go the other way, you have to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom of God takes care of the needy and the welfare of the needy in pure religion, which is what religion means. Doesn't mean what you think about God. It means the performance of your duty to God and your fellow man. So over here, this kingdom of God takes care of the needy through faith, hope, and charity. You know, free will offerings. Its assemblies are free assemblies. You have the right to gather in free assemblies. You're not doing it. The only place you have to get benefits is the people who exercise authority. Because and those priests are the priests of Baal. You're a Nicolaitan. You've been conquered. That's what Nicolaitan means. That's what Balaam means. Conquered people. Nicolaity. Conquered people. And you're conquered by your covetousness to want those benefits. Because you think that's okay. If you're starting to hear what I'm saying, and I say it almost every week in different ways, you're going to start saying, well, wait a minute, maybe it's not okay. Okay, well, so what do I do? How do I think the other way? Practice. Study to be quiet, to listen to the Lord. Go out, gather together with people, and start helping one another. Start becoming the welfare of one another. Looking to one another, not to the world, the flesh, or the devil, but looking to one another to bless one another. Now you're coming into agreement with Christ. You're not doing that, then you're just worshiping Christ with your lips. You're just saying, Lord, Lord, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I don't want to actually do anything that Jesus said, but I believe in Jesus. Jesus says that doesn't cut it. You got to be a doer of the word. You're not going to be able to do enough. You're not even going to be able to do it. But that's what seeking the kingdom is about, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You have to start seeking to be in agreement with a righteous way to sustain your community, your family, your neighbor's neighbor, and all the way from, like I said, from California to Maine, or from Florida to Washington, from Sweden to Australia. You have to care about people who care about one another. And that's going to draw you to this realm that gives life. You see, because in the realm that is dog-eat-dog, you know, where the dog returns to his vomit and the pig to his mire, they're just interested in filling. They don't have any source of life. Their source of life is you. They take bites out of you. They have to get you into agreement with the idea of taking bites out of your neighbor so that they can now take a bite out of you. Because is it not lawful to do with mine own what I will? That's what it says. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? If thine eye is evil, that's what it says. But I am good. Is my eye evil? So, do you covet your neighbor's goods? Because you have your eye on these benefits and you want these benefits. You want the protection, you want the security. So that's what you want. That's covetous. Your eye is evil. And then you say, but I am good because I believe in Jesus. No, you're not. you're doing contrary to what he said. So somebody who does love you has got to tell you that. I mean, I cannot urge you more to start wherever you're at. Start coming together to really start helping one another, because you're all gravely in debt to someone who wants to take a bite out of you. He's gotten you to bite one another, you know, to get these benefits. And now he has access to you, because is it not lawful for him to do with his own what he wills? You've left the camp of Christ. Now, churches used to do all these things, but they don't anymore. They've turned that over to government. And everybody says, well, the governments belong to the Satans of the world. Well, the reality is, I mean, who do you think's building this CERN thing? And again, we don't need CERN to open that door. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see that door opened in France. But it's going to open lots of places. The veil is thinning. It's just part of nature, and I won't go into all that explanation. But evil is getting into more and more hearts, more and more minds. And we see it in the media and on the entertainment and in the schools. And you have to start seeking this other way. And then you will see something more. If you see what I'm saying just a little bit, all the problems of the world, the money problems, the tyranny problems, the ISIS problems, people getting the nuclear bombs, the corruption in high governments, Federal Reserve and the debt problems, everything is related to the fact that we have been moving towards this spiritual realm of covetousness, of dog eat dog, of pig fill thy belly first. That's what we've been doing. Now, if we turn around and start doing the other, then we can create a surety for Christ. Christ can, the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, for this other realm, will come and defend you. They will fight for you. And we went through all the quotes in Ezekiel, and no, we didn't go through all of them. I mean, there's dozens and dozens of these quotes. And I probably should add them to our page on spiritual contracts. But if you begin to come into agreement with God, He will start to hear you, and this protection will come out. I wish I could demonstrate it to you, but it's not time for it. And the fact is that you're better off if you just listen deep in your hearts and start saying, you know, I mean, just put it on a simple basis. Don't worry about ISIS and all the fifth column people that are coming and the foreign countries that are planning. You know, they've got stockpiles underground and they're just waiting for the United States to go to its knees. Now they're making movies about it, trying to show you. You're getting ample warning from all the other places. But let's just take it down to the simple level of community, and that, you know, you can actually find YouTube deals on there where somebody does a favor for somebody, and then that person passes it on, does a favor to somebody, and people are getting these smiles and everything, and that's great, and it makes for a nice little YouTube video, but we have to do this in a big way. I mean, really, we have to, you know, it's like, the alcoholic says, I can quit drinking anytime. I do it every day. You know, for 20 minutes, I don't take a drink. See? Or an hour or whatever. The reality is that he's an alcoholic and he keeps going back to it. You are addicted to benefits. You're addicted to the security offered to you by benefactors who exercise authority. You have to start going cold turkey and stop looking in that direction. But you're also going to need the grace of God. So you have to, it's not enough to stop taking the benefits. I don't even know how you do that. I mean, that's a worthwhile project. But the important thing, see, all you're doing is coming out of agreement with the world. But you're not coming into agreement with Christ. Because Christ didn't come to stop taking benefits. He didn't come to get you out of the system. He came to serve. See, and that's what you have to do. You have to create this alignment to serve. And like I said on our page of spiritual contracts, two pictures. One is where these, you know, Michael, Archangel, and everything are fighting all the demons back for you. But the other picture shows the heavenly courts in the background, you know, with open arms, but you can't get to them because the four horsemen of the apocalypse are trampling you. You think you don't have time to get together and start learning what it means to love your neighbor and care about people and cast your bread upon the waters. You think you don't have time, that you're too busy now. That, yeah, I don't know. He says a lot of good things, but we don't really want to get into a network. We have people down in the LA area right now that will show you how to start forming congregations. We've got one that's starting there. And everybody's dragging their feet a little bit by my standards. But I see movement. That's good. They're starting because this is a process. But you think you don't have time for it now? Wait till the four horsemen of the apocalypse start riding through your town near you. You're not going to have time for anything. There's going to be weeping and wailing. But there's absolutely no reason to tell you, you know, about the earthquakes that are coming and you know, the other, I mean, absolutely fascinating. I mean, you're going to see sites like, well, some of you, if you live long enough, going to see sites that have not been seen on the earth for thousands of years. It's going to be, I mean, absolutely, you know, fascinating. But you're going to have your hands full. Because you have not been seeking the kingdom of God and the benefits of the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. And you haven't been attending to the daily ministration of God that operates by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. You've been attending the daily ministration. You've been sending your parents there. You've been sending your children there to get all these things at the expense of your neighbor. And been taking a bite out of your neighbor to do it. And you've been making agreements with those that are not cast up, but are cast down. And you are going to be pulled down. Like you won't believe. I could get into the metaphor. You won't believe what's actually, but you're actually being pulled now. You're, you know, when we're done with this show, what are you going to do? You're going to join the network, the Living Network. You're going to try to get together and form a congregation. You're going to hesitate because they want you to hesitate. They don't want you to start getting together with other people and start learning what some of these other people are beginning to learn. Because, I mean, there are unbelievable levels to this. And you need lots of kingdom practice. Some of you, it's written in your hearts already. Some of you are generous, kind, forgiving people, but everybody has need of repentance. Nobody's walking on water. Nobody's, you know, well, not very many people are raising the dead, healing the sick. Not happening with a lot of you. And we need, there's an army coming. I mean, it's just like Lord of the Rings. And they're ugly as those guys in the movies, too. And they're powerful. And, you know, like I warn people about who are getting ready for Armageddon and all this kind of stuff. And you need to be thinking kingdom, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You need to be coming into agreement with Christ who laid down his life so that others may live, that others may be free. You need to be studying to be quiet. And we're going to start a whole series on that, what that means, how to study to be quiet so that you can hear what God wants you to do. I don't know what God wants you to do. It's going to be a little different. Some of you should be in places like LA, you know, because you've got a job there. Some of you should probably be over there in Europe. But I'll tell you this, I've seen lately, if this is any forewarning, I've seen lately a lot of people shifting about. They've been moving. And for all kinds of different reasons. They think, oh, I was going to go here because of this, and I was going to go here because of this, and this person was going to go there because of that. And the reality is no. God's moving the chess pieces on the board. You know, this immigration, you know, the devil's moving his pieces too. Now, why am I chuckling? The devil's moving his pieces. It's because I'm over here and I'm working, I'm a pawn for the best chess player in the universe. Because the chess master that moves this pawn created the board. So I have a decided advantage. I don't even need to study chess. I know that I will be where he wants me to be, and I have learned to be still and listen to what he wants instead of what I want. If you're going out with fear, you're looking at what you want. You see, you're aligning yourself with the other side. Fear, force, violence, hate, impatience. You ever get impatient? Somebody cuts you off in traffic and you yell and cuss and swear at them? There's a hole in your heart that opens into the world of demons. How do we heal that? Forgiveness. Sacrifice. Patience. All these things we call virtue. And you, none of us have it as much as we should. All of us need to work on it. It's not a matter of will. It's a matter of recognizing that I of myself am not patient. I of myself am not humble. I am vain. I am selfish as a crying babe who wants his milk and wants it now. Who wants his warmth and wants it now. Who wants his comfort and wants it now. We are all selfish babes. But through fasting and prayers to God in heaven, now a new grace will come. You see, fasting isn't just not eating. It's not eating of the, not just the benefits either. Not eating of the satisfaction you get when you're impatient. Not eating of the satisfaction you get when you're angry and judge others. These are all things you do to get a release, to make you, fasting from the artificial religion that makes you feel good in church. You need to come into agreement with the character of Christ in all that you do, with your children, with your wife, with your husband, with your neighbors, with your enemy. Because that is where the real power will be. And the four horsemen of the apocalypse will go around you like a raging river around a rock. But you're not there. You're caught up in the current of the world. So therefore you think, I don't have any time to gather with them. And that's just another, a lot of good ideas, but I don't need to do that. You do need to do it. This is what you are looking for. You need to align yourself. Why? Because all these people that are going to be in these congregations are saints? No, because they're all sinners. They will teach you patience. Or they give you the opportunity of learning patience. The only one who teaches you patience is the Holy Spirit. The only one who will give you life is the Holy Spirit. These people will not. But together, when you come together in agreement, wherever two or more gathered in agreement, not just with each other, but with God, there he'll be. Very important element. Very important element. You have to come in agreement with other people in agreement with God. Is everybody in our network in agreement with God? No. But eventually, when the four horsemen come riding down the street, we will thin out. Many will fall away. But those who truly seek with their whole heart, mind, and soul will have the power to withstand the evil that's coming. But you will have to see into the bottom of your own hearts. And so until you do, peace on your house, and may God be with you. God bless. Thank you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.